How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
How to have fun, anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And season high in 3-point makes for the Kings tonight, too. Season high in 3-point makes. You say, hey, you just make your threes. You win games. They made 20 tonight and lost. Shit.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this on a Monday night. The Sacramento Kings trying to fight on claw, shorthanded. With the Hawks coming to town, they flew in after losing to the Blazers yesterday. They got some reinforcements back. Dyson Daniels didn't play last time the Kings played them. He was a big factor. DeAndre Hunter did not see the floor against Sacramento last time these two teams played. He was a big factor, and they got Bogdanovich back. No Jalen Johnson, but the Kings did not have Domantas Sabonis, DeMar DeRozan, and, of course, Malik Monk. It went down to the wire, but down the stretch, Sacramento got ice cold. They shoot just 4 of 22 in the fourth quarter, 1 of 11 from 3, and fall 109-108. De'Aaron Fox at the end of the game had a chance to go for the win, but Dyson, the great barrier thief, comes in with the strip and the save. Was he out of bounds? Officials didn't think so. Time expires. Hawks win. After 15 games, Kings are 8-7. They're off till Friday when they take on the Clippers in the NBA Cup. I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm okay. I feel a little disappointed in this loss, mostly just because home floor.
I'm with you on that.
I think that would be my biggest thing because I look at everything else that factors in. It's like, oh, they're missing all their guys. And then the Hawks like actually added some fresh legs back into their lineup with Bogey, with Hunter. But they were also missing someone too with Jalen Johnson not playing late scratch. But I guess my overall feel to this is like, you could have won it. It was so close. You had it. And you lost it on your home floor, and so I'm just feeling a little disappointed.
Well, let's go over the highs and lows of this, because the reality is, yes, the Kings are 8-7, and you lose to a team that's below 500. And now on the home floor, I believe Sacramento, as it stands tonight, it's not ideal. They're 4-4 on the home floor.
Boo.
Yeah. You know, when you see again tonight that the Kings don't have DeMar and they don't have Sabonis, of course, still no Malik Monk, you're thinking, okay, can De'Aaron be a hero again? Can other guys step up? The Kings did get a good night from De'Aaron Fox, yeah, but also Dyson Daniels was a major problem, as we predicted he would be.
Bullshit.
And that was, I think, one key to this game. Dyson Daniels is ridiculous. Coming in now tonight, after tonight, he leads the NBA with 7 deflections per game, over 3 steals per game, okay? But here's a number that's staggering for you guys to realize tonight. looking at the number of total deflections, okay? Mm-hmm. Dyson Daniels is number one. De'Aaron Fox is number two, okay? Dyson Daniels, I'm going to give you De'Aaron's number first. De'Aaron Fox in second place in total deflections with 57. Any guesses how many Dyson Daniels has?
Well, he missed a few games too, but I'm...
Yeah, he did.
Oh my God, and you're laughing? Okay, then I'm going to go like 75.
91.
Jesus! No!
Dyson Daniels has 91 deflections this year. De'Aaron Fox in second place with 57. This guy is unbelievable. And I thought tonight he did a really solid job on De'Aaron Fox. And Fox still was able to do his thing tonight. It just was Dyson was picking him up full court constantly. He's got, you know, 6'10 and a half wingspan. A really effective defender who's finally showing what he's been able to do. He wasn't able to do that in New Orleans. I mean, he was. They just didn't allow him on the floor to do this often. And he's worked on other aspects of his game. But I thought tonight it was very impactful because Atlanta has a lot of size. Sacramento obviously missing some key guys. And Fox is, I'm not going to say easier to defend because he's still a tough guard. Yeah. But when they could put a guy in Dyson Daniels who's young, who's in great conditioning, mm-hmm. and could pick up full court and hang with Fox a little bit, it just makes life harder on the Sacramento Kings. Fox still finished with 28 points in this game. He had 7 assists. He did it on 11 of 26, including 3 of 6 from downtown. What jumped out to you about Fox's game and how Dyson made it a little more challenging?
Well, it's like you said, Dyson had one job, and that wasn't to focus on anything else but De'Aaron Fox when he was on the floor because there weren't as many, established contributors on the Sacramento Kings roster, right? Like, I'm trying to think of how to, because they're still good players on this team.
That's
but
fair.
At the same time, like, you shut down the head of the snake, that's where it's all going to begin. And Dyson Daniels did a fantastic job on De'Aaron Fox, and De'Aaron Fox still being able to score 28 points, to still get into the paint, to get mugged at times in the paint.
Mugged a lot tonight.
And way too much. Like, to... I'll get to that in a second. But what I really just want to say about De'Aaron, I just was still so impressed with his game because we have seen how challenging length can be for him over the years. And I think this year is the first year where I'm like, okay, it's starting to become not as big of a problem. You look at the Minnesota game at McDaniels. You go to this matchup against Dyson Daniels, who was still beastly at times on him. And De'Aaron was still able to have a big game.
Yeah, and they threw different stuff at him. They really tried to collapse on him big time. And I thought they did a pretty good job at kicking out. I mean, the Kings did make a season high in threes. 20 of 46 from downtown. You lose by one. But, yeah, I mean, when you've got Dyson on him, you got, like, DeAndre Hunter helping, or Capella, had a big impact in this game because of the size. And he's already, you know, problem for Sacramento because of the size. But when you're faced with a situation like Mike Brown is, like, they're not going to keep Alex Len out there for the whole game. They put Trey Lyles at 5. The Kings had some small-ass lineups tonight and managed to out-rebound the Hawks, which was really
impressive.
An impressive feat. They out-rebounded them 45-37. And the cool thing about it is no guy had more. Okay, well, Trey Lyles ended up getting to 10. For a while, it was tracking less than that. But, I mean, you're looking at Keon Ellis had 6. You had Fox and Herter with 5. Keegan had 7 in 22 minutes. Alex Len had 3 in 17. So it just seemed like it was just like a game rebounding mentality that allowed Sacramento to be in this game. But yeah, I just thought that was problematic tonight for Sacramento.
Yeah. You look at that, when you look at the rebounding, you think about the offensive rebounding for the Atlanta Hawks and what they're usually doing night after night. And tonight, you know, 6 offensive rebounds that led to 15 second chance points, which really does hurt. But one other thing I want to get to with De'Aaron, just so I don't forget it too, 4 attempts at the free throw line. Just had to get to that because that number alone, talking about how many times he got in the paint and he's still scoring 28 points, Deuce. I mean, even you look at his 3-point number, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, that's a good number right there.
50%.
Like 50%, but also like the attempts were good. I felt like I think there was maybe 1 3 that I thought like, oh, why'd he take that? But for the most part, I just thought he was being decisive, doing great things. But the fact that he only had 4 attempts at the free throw line is just pure bullshit. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it was. And Mike Brown was asked about it after the game, and you know, he was trying to say it in a calm manner, which I admire, but it was funny because he's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, Trae Young does such a great job at, you know, being able to get to the free throw line. And I don't know if Fox has to kind of, like, Trae Young sells it with putting his head back. Mm-hmm. Does Fox need to do that? I don't know. But yeah, I thought there were many times, I witnessed it where I'm like, okay, they're tugging on Fox's jersey. They are bumping him. He's not getting calls. And then I felt like late in this game, Fox did a couple of times look like he was trying to get the calls.
Sure.
As opposed to just, you know,
finish the shot.
Yeah, and I get it. He's being aggressive and he gets pissed off sometimes. And he got a technical tonight because he threw the ball toward the ref after a call, after an illegal screen. And they call it delay a game on him. He's pissed off about that. But yeah, I mean, I thought Fox's night overall was really strong, all things considered. You look at some of the calls at the end of the game. There was that one with like 3 minutes to play that ended up being kind of a crucial one where he gets tangled up with DeAndre Hunter. Watching the replay back, it looks like Hunter kind of yanks his arm and kind of pulls him down, releases at the last second. Official does not call it. De'Aaron's pissed, yelling at the official. Then Hunter gets back, gets a trailing three ball, which was a big moment in the game.
It was. It totally was. And De'Aaron was on the ground long enough where he's just like, okay, can you guys figure it out? And then he ended up getting teed up on that play, which I thought was...
No, he didn't get teed up on that play.
Oh, he...
He got teed up on... Oh, you're right.
He
you're
did. Right. That's bad. Why when my he bad. Said the... Yeah, yeah,
that was my bad. He got a delay game. That was not a tee. My bad.
Oh, my God.
Turnover on Deuce. It's fine. Kings had 17 turnovers tonight. I can get one. Yes, he got a technical play.
When he got that technical on that play, I was so... And
so that's a 4-point swing.
It's a 4-point swing, but also the official was waiting to call the technical on De'Aaron as well. I don't think it was like they hit the three and then he was calling the technical. He was allowing the play to go, which they want the officials to do. So he allowed the play to go and then he was like, F you said whatever you said. I'm glad De'Aaron said whatever you said. I wish he did get back on that possession. But I also, one other thing, wish Mike Brown got a technical for him throughout this night.
The chat is cracking me up today. Kings fan Zeke says, that wasn't tangled up. Hunter threw him down. I watched a replay. They initially did get tangled up. I'm just telling you what I saw. And Hunter and Fox got a little tangled up. And then I saw Hunter hook his arm, hook Fox's arm, and bring him to the ground. So you're right, but there was an initial tangle up there. And then it was the hook and bring him down. That's what I saw.
Don't you dare.
And the final play of the game, the Kings get a stop. It's 109-108. Fox is pushing. The Kings elect not to use a timeout. They're in transition. They're feeling pretty good. Fox drives. Dyson Daniels is there. There's some help, too. And Dyson Daniels strips De'Aaron Fox. And there's been so much conversation about that final play. Mm-hmm. You know, Fox thought he got hit on the hand. I mean, if you look at the screenshot here, his hand is definitely there. Yeah. But according to the NBA rules, that's a clean play. I mean, this is one screenshot too. Someone put it on social media. So how much of his hand is on the ball? It's a blurry picture. I don't know what to tell you. But if you go by NBA rules, the hand is considered part of the ball when it is in contact with the ball. Therefore, contact on that part of the hand by a defender while it is in contact with the ball is not illegal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the NBA rule. The next thing. Dyson Daniels on the play, a lot of people thought when he went to save the ball, his heel stepped out of bounds and the Kings should have had the ball with like 9/10 of a second left.
Mm-hmm. One more opportunity. Maybe.
The official was staring right at it, Aaron Smith looking directly at it on the replay. But they don't call it out of bounds, right? So the game is over. And everyone's like, why can't the officials go look at it? Why didn't the Kings challenge it? Well, the NBA adopted a rule in the 21-22 offseason that said that officials cannot go review out-of-bounds plays in the final 2 minutes of regulation.
Yes.
The only way a play like that could be reviewed is by coach's challenge. But it would have had to have been called out-of-bounds. Like, that's the only way. You can't challenge a no-call. There was no call there, so you can't challenge it. So it's one of those unfortunate things that you wish there is some, like, gray area for the officials to at least, like, look at it. I've seen the replay. I saw Sean Cunningham's video. I've seen other angles. I'm like, there was no way they could have overturned it, even if that rule was allowed. Like, it was a hell of a play, and you tip your cap. Like, Dyson Daniels made a great play, and we can all be mad at, like, things that happened in the game.
Sure.
I'm not going to be mad at that sequence. Like, Dyson Daniels swiped down at the ball. You tip your cap, and you lost the game.
And here's the thing. There were, I think, where some people might be frustrated because – you look at the fouls called on Keegan Murray and they were soft ass fouls.
Yeah.
And so like when you see the soft fouls happen that deemed a foul, you know, whatever,
no, for sure,
in the league, I can understand the frustrations, but at the end of the day, like, this is the first time that I'm like very frustrated with the officiating this season with the Sacramento Kings, but I can sit here right now and go, that didn't lose the game. I mean, go to the beginning of the game. Did did the refs give the Hawks a 22-6 lead? No.
You're right. But there are some calls that I thought were just, or non-calls that were just irritating with me, and some calls that were irritating with me. But that final play, like, I don't know. I'd have to get a better angle. And that legal put out the last two-minute report that is pointless anyway, so I don't know why we even care. But, you know, if it was a foul on the hand, sure. I don't think his heel was out of bounds.
It was hovering.
I do think it was hovering. But it's also like, I'm doing it on like a social media video pausing. Like, it's not very accurate. Yeah. So it is what it is. So tough way for Sacramento to lose on a night that we mentioned De'Aaron Fox's game, kind of the what he was able to do, but we haven't talked about this guy that was incredible tonight.
Oh, yes.
And I'm so happy for Keon Ellis, because Keon has been one of the two young Kings players that has been kind of in this funk, right? Like, we know what Keon can do defensively, but last year he was so crucial in making open threes, right? Over 40%. This dude got his 3-point percentage tonight over 40% on the year.
Oh yeah.
Why? Because he was red hot. He knocked down a career high 9 threes. He did that through 3 quarters. Keon Ellis finishes this game, Morgan, 33 points, a career high. He had 6 rebounds on 9 of 17 shooting overall, 9 of 15 from 3-point land. He was also 6 of 7 at the free throw line in 33 minutes. What did you make of Keon Ellis in this game? What was different about him?
Confidence, his flow. I mean, I always use those when something is usually different about a player, but like, truly, that you could see it in his body language when he had the ball. Like, did Mike Brown and the coaching staff say, hey, you pull some shit like you did the other night again, you know, you're going to see your way on the bench. And I felt like he felt that threat and didn't want that to happen again. But it's not a threat that is going to scare a competitor. It's a threat that's only going to light a fire to inspire you to do more, depending on your personality. But at the same time, you can feel if that respect is there with you and your coaching staff, it's going to happen. And I feel like Keon Ellis felt that from his coaching staff. And for him to be that efficient from three and to keep shooting from three and to even just like not stop shooting, even when he was missing a few, it was like, no, you still have the hot hand. Keep going. When you're feeling this, when you're in the zone, you got to keep going. And to get to the free throw lines for 7 attempts, made 6 of those is great.
Yeah. And that's why tonight is even a little more disheartening, because it's like, oh, you got Keon with 33. You hit a season high 20 threes. Oh, by the way, De'Aaron still had a 28-point night and you were unable to convert. Some poor shooting down the stretch of this game in the fourth quarter. And they had some great looks. Trey Lyles had some good looks.
Yes.
He got off to a nice start. He ended up 4 of 11, 3 of 7 from downtown. He did have 10 rebounds and 4 assists. I thought he had a pretty solid game, just missed some good looks. Kevin Huerter tonight, brutal, man. I mean, 1 of 10 from 3. If Kevin... Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what to say. You know, his shooting has been... There's been stretches where, oh, he's getting it back, mm-hmm. or he's doing some other things out there. Tonight, 1 of 10 from 3 is a killer. It is.
It sucks. I mean, he
got good looks. 1 of 10?
Well, that's what I don't get, because he did get good looks. And I'm like, what's happening tonight? Former team nerves? Like, is there something else? But it doesn't matter what it is. It's like, you're at this point now in... not only in your career, but within this organization where it's so important for, it's okay sometimes if you're missing some, but there's been too many nights of the, oh my God, they found it. Oh my God, he is back to 1 for 10 on a night where you need it more than ever. Like,
Go 3 of 10 tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
Please go 3 of 10.
Like, I'm telling Keegan Murray the other night, like, yo, you got to step up. while others were stepping up. But I feel the same way about someone like Kevin Huerter, who you see does a good job moving without the basketball. You see at times was confident in getting into the paint in some of those actions. Like, continue that same type of flow, especially if you are going to miss so many three-pointers.
Although you can kind of say it balances out, because what are the odds that, you know, Keon's knocking down 9 in a game? So
don't
it kind of, no, it kind of balances out.
But for the individual, we just want to see Kev, like, obviously.
I know, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, if we're going to go the extremes, like, Keon did hit 9 tonight. Like,
good balance.
Let's just throw 3 at Kevin, and it's like a normal game.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. For sure.
But yeah, you needed Kevin to knock down shots tonight.
Couple more.
So that one definitely stings, because he only finished with 9 points. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He also had 3 steals in this game. You know, the turnover issues were interesting tonight, and I don't have the official number of how many times they got called for illegal screens. It must have been 5 to 6 times they got called for an illegal screen tonight. And it wasn't always like a big. And I was curious to get your thoughts on this. How much do you think this is because, like, maybe the guard, they're using these smaller lineups, and guys who are used to, like, setting screen aren't setting screens all the time are the ones setting screens?
I that's actually, it's a great point. It's a great perspective, something to look at.
A basketball mind.
Ew. But here's my thing to it. You're a basketball player. You know how to set a screen.
Yeah.
Even if it is a DHO with De'Aaron Fox, even if it is, especially as a guard, you understand timing because you know what type of timing you want to come off of a screen, off of a shoulder. So at the end of the day, it's a fundamental thing to know how to do a good, and it's a screen on Trae Young even. You know, I'm talking about the one that Keon Ellis had where it's like, Trey's still running. Like, you should just set your feet and then you fall back. You know what I mean? You gotta think about all these different things. Even if you're not doing it all the time, a screen is something that you're still always doing.
Pretty crazy. The Kings, God, is that true?
What?
Oh my God. I gotta pull it up though. I gotta pull it up because I have their fourth quarter numbers, which aren't good. They only scored 15 points in the fourth quarter.
Jeez.
I mentioned the 4 of 22 in the quarter and 1 of 11 from downtown. I just want to look at their overall second half number. So second half for Sacramento, they only scored 42 points in the second half. No. What's crazy is the Hawks scored 45. So it's not like they were blistering. Sacramento in the second half, 33%, 27% from 3, 7 turnovers. So that's tough. Fox in the second half, 6 of 14. Kevin Huerter, 0 of 5 from downtown in the second half. Man. Keon Ellis was 0 for 3 from downtown in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, the shooting just killed you tonight. Obviously, you're down some major cogs, right? Without DeMar, without Malik, and without Sabonis tonight. The next guy they were kind of without tonight was Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray was coming off a game that we were both talking about. Like, man, we need to see him be more aggressive. He can't have a game where, you know, he takes 6 shots. He took his first shot in the second quarter in the game against Utah the other night. Tonight, he fouls out in just under 23 minutes, finishes with 7 points, 7 rebounds. He had 2 steals, 4 turnovers on 3 of 9 shooting. He's 1 of 3 from downtown. Go ahead.
No, where were you going to go with it?
Well, it was just one of those nights I was super frustrated. I felt for him because he missed some shots early. Mm-hmm. He had one where he was driving and the Hawks, I think it was DeAndre Hunter on a rear contest, blocked them from behind. He had a couple of nice drives too. I had one on David Roddy where it's boom, went in there. I think he posted up a smaller guy at one point, might've been Garrison Matthews, and scored. So there were like those signs that I liked. I thought his defense on Trae Young in this game
took away his vision.
Fantastic.
Well, as much as he could, even though Trae ended up dropping 19
But that wasn't all.
That's what I was going to say.
They were trying to force others to beat him. And Trae Young had 7 points on 1 of 7 shooting. As Morgan mentioned, 19 assists for Trae. He had 5 turnovers. But
wild.
Keegan did a hell of a job defending Trae Young when he was in there. The problem was Keegan picked up some tough fouls. I thought the last two were just awful.
They were bullshit.
I mean, there was a one where he went to break up a lob to Capella that he blocked the shot. And the official, I'm sorry, like, this is minor contact. He might have got him a little bit in the chest with his off arm. it did not impact the play. And I'm like, that's a foul. We're calling that tonight. And then the last one, which was a loose ball foul, which was a complete flop and a half. And you're just like...
And it wasn't even like the guy... Who was it on? I forget who it was on. But the Hawks player didn't even fully flop. Like, it was like the official
and
just...
And he fouled out on that. That was the
he
most...
He wanted to call the foul,
it
no matter
what.
It was
probably the most irritated I've ever seen Keegan Murray during a game. Like, he got pissed at the last two calls, but...
As he should.
He was only able to score 7 points in this game on 3 of 9 shooting. I don't think there is a player on the Kings who needs the next few days off more than Keegan Murray mentally. Yep. He had one play where I think Keon went to throw him the ball, and he totally mishandled it out of bounds.
Yeah.
He was just like... Dude, he needs some rest and
take these days.
Yeah, and get some treatment and get the mind right, because he's still found a way to impact the game defensively. But the Kings do need him to do more than this. Like, 7 points when you're missing DeMar and Monk and Sabonis, you need this guy to be taking a ton more shots.
There's a few times where I thought some of the actions being run, like Keegan's in the corner, because they're not running all the way through it. But I think, too, that's because they don't have some of their main guys out there.
Well, you're playing with lineups that just haven't played a ton. Isaac Jones played tonight. It was his third straight game he played.
Yes. So anyway, and we can get to that again. But
in 3 nights.
I know. What was I saying?
Talking about Keegan and them running plays.
Oh, yeah. So there'd be a lot of different actions where you'd see, like, Keegan in the corner, and then a few times in the possession where you'd finally see it, like, get all the way through to the point where he's coming off or curling off a screen or getting a pin down or whatever movement he's doing in it. And I remember just thinking in my head, like, it needs to happen quicker. Like, they need to get in this quicker because the shot clock's running down and all these different things. There's so many things factoring into it, like we said, with all these different guys playing, though. And I just think, no matter what, for Keegan, if those moments are going to happen when so many other guys are on the floor, don't play by the rules and be like, I'm going to wait until the action's going to come to me. Take the effing ball. Go to the rim. Like, you're one of the bigger players. You're one of the better players out there. And so I think for him, it's just remaining aggressive and not, like, letting your shoulders sink, too. You saw
that a couple times tonight.
And you saw that a couple times, not only with, like, turnover, but it was like the refs were, like, taking him out of it. You know, you can control what you can't control, but when a ref is controlling your fate in a game, I can understand why it could be so deflating, so frustrating. And I felt for him tonight. And I'm not as, like, upset with his game in his 23 minutes that he only got to be out there compared to what I saw, like, even the other night.
I felt like he was being more aggressive, and he only played 22 minutes in this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for him, too, not only does he need this break, like, I think he needs some rest, but I hope this is a lesson. This stretch of games for Mike Brown, this coaching staff, is a lesson. Like, you're shorthanded now, and you've been experimenting with different guys. We saw a little Orlando Robinson tonight. Wasn't great. A mixed bag for sure, right? Isaac Jones, we just mentioned, he played against Utah. Then he played in a G League game yesterday against the Lakers, and he played tonight. So 3 straight games for him. They're playing more of the bench, and they're kind of forced to, right?
Yeah.
But they got to get these minutes down.
They have to.
I'm sorry. Like, when I see that DeMar DeRozan, who never misses games, is having lower back tightness.
No.
I mean, is that because all the minutes? When Sabonis, who never misses games, missed 3 games in the last 2 seasons, is missing 2 consecutive games because, like, lower back tightness, even if it's precautionary, I look at the minutes, and I'm not done. I want to get to this. Mike Brown had an interesting stat. His first season, the Kings' first 15 games were played over 35 days. The first 15 games were played over 35 days. Year 2, the first 15 games were played over 32 days. This year, the first 15 games were played over 26 days.
Jeez.
So it's condensed. And so, okay.
Great stat.
Complain about the schedule, whatever. But you're playing your guys a ton of minutes. And that just brings me back to the fact, all right, so you've got DeRozan and Sabonis down with back things.
Yeah.
Keegan has played the second most minutes in the NBA. In an advanced stat that came out, he's ran the most miles in the NBA, over 41 Amazing. Miles this season coming into tonight.
No big deal.
So, and he's being asked to do a shit ton out there defensively. And so anyway, my whole point is, it's not just about Keegan, it's about the entire team. Is, like, I said this early with Morgan, we both were talking about this early in the season, is if you keep playing these guys this many minutes, you're going to run them into the ground. When the Kings are not knocking down shots, it's hard for me to not think like, oh, is it because certain guys are tired? So this, my whole point is you've been able to experiment with different lineups, different rotations because of the injuries. You need to start finding ways to implement these guys and get DeRozan's minutes down, Sabonis's minutes down, Fox's minutes down, Keegan's minutes down.
And it's such a great stat because you do the stat, the games in those days that you mentioned in the first couple of years, whatever, because you think about, well, DeMar played the most minutes in the NBA last year, or second most, same with Domas, whatever. Yeah. But when it's condensed like that, it has to be evaluated how you go about it. But then on top of that, I thought you asked Mike Brown an interesting question in the pregame presser about practice or whatever. And he's like, you know, we haven't had like contact practice. Our latest contact practice was probably October. And so it's not like he's just throwing in a whole bunch of practices.
And
in
that's
between.
What I asked, because I asked that for a reason, because Mike Brown he loves practice. Anytime there's an opportunity to practice, he wants to practice. And you've heard guys and players mention in the past, like, hopefully on practice.
Day
and
off.
So I was curious, based on their schedule and the amount of men's play, are these guys still going hard? And he said they have not done a full contact practice since, like, toward the end of training camp. They just haven't had the time either.
Yeah. But,
so, I don't know. I just think going forward, managing this a little better is imperative.
It's imperative, though. It's imperative to everything. So if... to so many different things, it will benefit the players building a little bit of chemistry and NBA experience minutes, especially if they're needed, especially if health was a problem once again, a challenge once again, ever throughout the year. It will benefit the coaching staff to understand what they have within their depth and within their roster and see if they really feel like they could go forward with this, or if they're like, yo, we really need to make some tweaks soon. I mean, I think it's so important to do this kind of stuff in the beginning of the season. Now, it's not important to me to have like 7 back-to-backs in the first 26 effing days for all of us. Like, I'm going insane with this.
No, and I get that, but I guess that just brings me back to the point. The schedule is what it is. Like, everyone has tough schedules, and like, I don't think the Kings are alone in this. And even if a team hasn't had it yet, they may have it in the future. My point being is when these happen, you have to look ahead and be like, okay, I know we really want this win, but it is, you know, November. Great example of this. Steve Kerr's been criticized in the past, even last year, like, dude, he will not play stuff more than 33 minutes. And he's like, I'm trying to think big picture here. And I think you do have to think big picture. And now with guys banged up, in the next few days off, hopefully the thought, and I think they actually have Tuesday off as a team too. I think they're taking that day off. They need to heal up. They need to feel good, not only like physically, but mentally. Like, this has been a grueling stretch. These guys have struggled shooting at times. There's been a lot of games, a lot of minutes played. Get ready and be ready for Friday's game at the Intuit Dome. NBA Cup game, Kings, Clippers. And the Kings did get some good news today that we'll talk about as well in just a bit. But yeah, so I don't know. Those are just kind of my thoughts on tonight. You know, I think there was some good. I appreciated that they've been competitive in these games when they've had their third different lineup in the last 3 games.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if you're missing that much firepower, you know, 55.7 points per game between DeMar, Sabonis, and Monk, you're going to have to get others to pick up the load. And if Fox isn't scoring 49 or 60 points, who else is going to step up? Keon did a great job tonight, but there was only one other player in double figures, and that was Trey Lyles at 12. So, yeah.
Got to figure it out.
8-7, it's not where I think I wanted them to be, but you're also in a situation where you're missing some guys too. And, you know, you're not isolated in the NBA. There's a lot of teams who are banged up right now trying to fight through it. And you just got to get through it. So anything else jump out from you tonight in this game?
No, not necessarily. Oh.
Did you have one? You said not necessarily, so I raised my hand.
Not necessarily. Blah, blah, blah. I would say just starting Alex Len again in the lineup. You know, I think he is what he is On this roster, and we've seen some good moments from him, but that's what he's there for, the good moments, like just like the few good moments.
A couple of good blocks early in this game. I think Mike was probably feeling like Jalen Johnson was going to play, and they have some athleticism and size up front.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Johnson was a late scratch.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's why it was that starting lineup. And you know, he didn't play a ton. I mean, Alex Lennon, what, he played 17 minutes, so much more tonight. But, God, we just saw some random-ass lineups. Well, here's one lineup at the end of the second quarter, Morgan. Fox, Ellis, McDermott, Herter, and Lyles.
Mm.
I'm like, this is so small.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's another small one. Oh, here's another really, well, I guess it's not that bad. Let's say J-Mac, Ellis, Herter, Lyles, and Len. But, yeah, there's definitely, like, some really small lineups, and in the Hawks, you know, you've got long ass dudes out there. Yeah, it was tough. You know, the one guy I wanted to bring up on their end, who? Besides Dyson Daniels, who we gave love to, that guy is good, man.
Who's the other?
Can I stick on Dyson for a second?
We've already, like, sure, let's just
I just want to talk about the why are you being grumpy tonight?
I'm not. Am I grumpy?
Maybe no. I have an additional point. I wasn't going back to what he did.
Oh,
how about
okay.
You just let me cook for a second.
The way you said it, I was like,
let me run a play. Trust that I run the right play.
Guess what I did? I didn't take the ball away. I was just, I gave you a look.
You gave me the ball back, no, but you were like this.
You
were like
off. This. Yeah.
You take it.
So you better score.
I mean, DeJounte Murray is a talented player. There's no doubt about it. It was clearly not the right move for the Hawks to trade for him when they did. They thought they were closer than they were. They thought the fit of Murray and Young would be good. It wasn't. It was kind of like, oh, when Trey's out, like DeJounte does his thing. It was just weird, right?
Sure.
Getting Dyson Daniels on this team is so perfect. You know, what a pickup for them. You know, if you're trying to like, all right, we didn't do great in trading, acquiring Murray, but for us to pivot and get a young player like Dyson Daniels who works hard, who can have the energy to stick with the fastest guy in the NBA, who's been on an absolute heater.
Impressive.
And he's doing it every single night. Like, those deflection numbers are absurd, right? Like,
absurd.
It's,
but, like, you look at his entire stat line, and you're just like, God.
Knocked down a couple of threes, that's eight rebounds.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. Four assists.
Four blocks.
Like, only three fouls. I mean, probably more like five, but okay. Like, I mean, hats off to him. And I say that just as a, take your hats off. I just say that as a basketball fan. And I think I say that too, because we've called some of his games in the G League. And when you see someone, someone's game, especially from that level, end up translating and finding a role, but then even doing more than just a role in the NBA, It's really cool to see. It just sucks when he's playing like this against the team you root for.
And on the season, the biggest question for him is, can he shoot threes? He's shooting 27% from three. But I think he's improved his game. And yeah, he was with 2 of 5 from downtown.
2 of 5
from downtown for him in this game. So I don't know. I just think he's grown a lot. Now he's getting a good opportunity. And it's cool to see a guy like that thrive a little bit. But the guy I was going to bring up was DeAndre Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, was this guy like trying to audition for the Kings? Like, he's been a name that has been brought up before for Sacramento. Good size, gets banged up. Some people go, see, he disappears sometimes. Watching him, I'm like, dude, would he not be like the perfect player? I know what he makes. He makes 21 this year, 23 next year, 24. That would be very challenging to maneuver. Blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, God.
I love that your mind just like even goes all the way there.
He had 24 points. He was 4 of 8 from downtown, 9 of 15 shooting in 24 minutes.
But that's great.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, how do you make that happen? All the different things involved.
Sure, but he's been a guy that's the Hawks have talked about in trade rumors forever. And I still maintain, going back to Keegan for a second, that, like, you know, there's a lot of people low on Keegan right now in the fan base because the offensive numbers, right? And I don't think people pay attention to the other stuff enough. That's just me. But you want to help this guy. It's not just a minute. It's like he is the wing on the team. And you think if you had someone like DeAndre Hunter, just someone else who could defend and knock down a shot with some
comes
more
off
size,
the bench.
Like, what does that do for Keegan? Does that allow him to be a little more fresh? So, you know, he's not playing. Like, think about this last 4-game stretch for Keegan Murray. He's defended Devin Booker, Julius Randle, and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Lauri Markkanen. Tonight, Trae Young. Name me another player in the league that has the versatility to that.
Dyson Daniels. No,
he doesn't. Dyson Daniels cannot guard Markkanen.
You're right. He's not big. No.
He's just not big enough. Yeah, yeah. And that's not a slight. I don't think he could do that.
I know. So, I was just naming a good defender.
It's just like there's not many guys in the league who can do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So can we change this so he's not the wing on the team? That there's someone else who could, I don't know, come in and play 10 minutes and be respectful, or guys that you could play with him. Those are the things I think about with Keegan Murray. I'm still bullish on him. I still feel like it's going to turn around, but I think we're at to the point now where the coaching staff has to help him for sure. Mm-hmm. But so does the front office, and getting another wing, someone who could defend on this team. So it's not all up to Keegan Murray. That's my thought.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
And DeAndre Hunter looked pretty good.
Okay.
Looked pretty good.
Not even going to say anything.
You're not going to say anything. We've got more of the show coming up. I did want to take a look at one thing before we go to break.
Yeah, what did you want to look at?
Someone's eager to just like be done, aren't you?
Not at all. I just literally, you're just like on one, and so like you go, and then I started saying something, and then you just like kept rattling on. So I was like, okay.
What were you going to say?
It was like conversation. You're like talking at us. I think I'm speaking for all of it. You're talking at us, and you're.
So let me ask you this: when I go to talk about DeAndre Hunter for a second, and you're being so dismissive about it, I feel like I do have to talk to other people because don't want to. You don't hear. You don't care.
I do care. I'm just saying when you start dropping, like you're looking up his salary and be like, you know, oh, he does make this, this, and this. You don't even have a combination of people to make to even get that piece on your roster.
Thanks, Morgan. I sorry, I didn't have time before the podcast to look up the trade checker ahead of time. But yeah, do you want me to pull it up right now? I could go ahead and tell you. You can combine salaries and find a way to get DeAndre Hunter. He doesn't make $65 million a year. He makes $20 million. The question I have is, does it make sense from a salary cap perspective to add that type of salary to your roster? But yeah, you can maneuver and find a trade that works.
When there is a solid wing in the NBA, you do. It doesn't matter if he's $20 million. You find an effing way. You do. Because the lack of solid wings in the NBA, and then to have one that actually would be positioned in a role to come off the bench, and like not be like, no, but I'm a starter over Keegan. Yeah, like, and that's what they would say, like. Yeah, you do whatever the shit you can do.
So but Morgan like, is on board.
I mean, obviously, I think it's like a duh, no shit.
Appreciate everyone hanging out with us in the chat. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We do have a super chat to get to this. Oh, we've got a couple. Oh, like donates $5 saying tough loss tonight. I'll keep my comments to myself. Okay. Kevin Durant donates $2, and because it's such a lame message, I'm going to take his $2. I'm going to light it on fire.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Jay in the chat says, hey, Deucemo, can you guys please ask Monk why he isn't wearing Kobe's anymore? Could you guys confirm if he has a new endorsement deal? P.S. Let him know Kobe's are better for his ankles. Yeah, he did. You know, I don't know the official. I think he is wearing... He is wearing a different brand of shoes now.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm not a shoe guy. I think it might be Peak. There are these green ones. Let's see here. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a shoe guy. They're just, they're different. He's not wearing Kobe's anymore.
Deuce is all about the Sabrina Nescu, so.
Great. That's a great shoe, dude. Don't you? Great shoe.
He's not a shoe guy, but if he was.
We got more of the podcast coming up. We got to talk about some good news involving the Sacramento Kings as well, plus a trade that happened in the NBA world that official details are out that we should discuss.
Oh.
Tonight's podcast presented by friends over at Mother in Sacramento. Morgan, 2319 K Street. Why should people go to Mother to go out and eat.
It's some of the best food in Sacramento. It's obviously won many awards. And on top of that, they have a huge deal throughout November. And so many of our listeners are doing it. And I love it. You head into Mother. You bring in a photo of your grandmother or mother. And I'm talking about on the phone. Some people have brought it just tattoo form. And you will get 50% off your entire meal. Like, you're getting Michelin bib awarded food for 50% off. And so many people have done it before Kings games, just on a random day. So make sure you go in.
I did hear from Willard the Orphan.
Oh.
And not to state the obvious here, but he doesn't have a picture of a mom or a grandma. What does he do?
Lies.
Okay. Good job. Go to mothersacramento.com. to check out their full menu and go in person, 2319 K Street. They're Kings fans. They're awesome. You should check them out as soon as possible. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We're all one.
We're
one. Golden One. Kings fans, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You have this QR code on the screen, by the way. You could scan to see their range of products and services to help you start your financial journey right now. Morgan, that's not all.
So many perks. So many perks. I mean, I'm talking 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the King store. I mean, you can get upgrades of seats just by showing your card at a game. Scott Freshour runs up to you and says, hey, you get to the lower bowl. I've talked to another listener who was like, I'm so glad you guys are partnering with Golden One because they gave me playoff tickets when the Kings, or they won playoff tickets when the Kings made the playoffs that year. So again, there's just so many perks of being a member. It's a great company, so why not?
Why not?
Thank you.
We are all one at Golden One, so go to goldenone.com today. We're also presented today by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows at your house? There's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest Exteriors.
I got a few windows coming tomorrow because I have a little project going on, and I'm so excited. They're coming on over, and I just know the quality that I'm going to get because I already have those windows, and they're absolutely amazing in every way. They keep out the cold in the summer. They keep out the heat. They have UV protection. They have soundproofing, everything that you need. And I was just so surprised by the end of everything too, where I'm like, oh, why didn't I get these sooner? Like, it's definitely something that you are capable of doing if you look at all the different deals that they have going on. So make sure to check them out.
Yeah, Northwest is
there you go.
Try that again. What are they called?
Northwest Exteriors.
Northwest Exteriors is offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they'll donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports veterans. Offer expires December 29th, 2024. Go to their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Why do they call you Morgan Reagan? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm reverting back to my childhood when I literally could not say my R's up until sixth grade.
That's embarrassing.
And I, you know how embarrassing it is when I used to tell my grandma, rest in peace, that I wanted to be a broadcaster. Grandma, I want to be a broadcaster when I grow up. You know, she never discouraged me, man. She's like,
that's cute.
You can totally do it. In the back of her head, she's going, oh my God, this kid doesn't, has his dad in prison. He, out of all the jobs he picks, he wants to be a broadcaster. He can't say his R's. And I don't know what happened. One day when I was sixth grade, all of a sudden I'm like, rabbit. What? I said rabbit? I used to say wabbit. I can say rabbit now? I used to not be able to say world. World. That's how I used to say it. I couldn't say anything.
Oh, and look at you now.
Look at me now, Grandma. Oh, wait, you can't.
Because
you're dead. Wow.
Why are we singing about your grandma?
I don't, oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know where we're going, why we're doing it, man. We're just here. A lot of people in the chat also mentioning Cam Johnson. I like Cam Johnson. I like Cam. He's
We're at this point of the podcast. Come on.
Here's some good news about the Sacramento Kings. They've been shorthanded for some time, but before the game, we learned that DeMar DeRozan, Domas Sabonis, and Malik Monk have been cleared for individual workouts.
Yay!
With Monk, it sounds like he's going to start doing that and then be reevaluated in a couple of days. DeRozan and Sabonis are considered day-to-day. I would think it is likely that they return back for Friday's game. Malik Monk, I don't know. I feel like that's a little iffy.
Yeah.
But I would be shocked if DeRozan and Sabonis were not back for the NBA Cup game against the LA Clippers.
I'm with you. I mean, you look at the amount of time that they have been able to heal. Like, you think about lower back and or just back injuries in general, just always lingering and needing that time. I mean, what a perfect time to have an injury, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, with this gap.
And that's what I'm saying.
In some ways,
like,
yeah.
I was like, even for De'Aaron for a second, I was like, does he need, should his fingers heal during this time? Like,
also, what? We are never talking about his hand the rest of the year.
Why?
Because he scored 109 points in two games. And okay. He's not talking about it, yeah. So we don't talk about it. You know, do you like his new three-point celebration where he just like looks at his hand?
Love it. I love it. It's just like,
it's all like wrapped
dude,
up.
And I love his three-point shot. Just, I love it. It's looking smooth, and I knew it would. And that's why when everyone's like, oh my God, he's out for 11. I'm like, shut up. Let him shoot.
Well, I think he's also picked his spots a lot better. I had one thought on De'Aaron, too.
What?
Do you think when like DeMar and Sabonis get back, do you think like he should like handle the rock more? I mean, I just feel like in some ways, I understand he's got help now with those guys and like having some balance. I just think he's such a threat with the ball, and how many times I saw him like get to the paint tonight and have a good spray and get the Kings a good look. It doesn't have to be like, hey, Sabonis, bring up the ball or get into the offense. I kind of want my fastest guy to be putting pressure on the defense more times than not.
I think. To answer it shortly, yes. But I also think that DeMar will keep getting better as that happens with him on the floor as well. Like, it's not going to throw him off. He's not going to be able to keep up that same speed or anything. But at the same time, what if he was out and ready for a bailout for De'Aaron? You know, if De'Aaron got into the paint, there was some length in there and he couldn't do what he needed to do. But you see how effective and how important it is that he remains fast and he gets in the paint. And that is one of the more special skill sets that you have on this team. So you want to make sure it's utilized. I hate when people are being underutilized. I don't care if it's on a team. I don't care if it's anywhere in work, life, wherever. When people are being underutilized, it's just like, oh my God, can someone please manage better?
Yeah. I just think he's such an ability to put pressure on the defense that it would be nice if he handled it. I there are too many times I feel like Fox is like with those guys out there, like, oh, he's chilling in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's about finding that flow though, when that does happen. And it's not about being like, okay, every three offensive possessions, Fox is going to take it down.
Sure.
No, you just got to feel it out. And sometimes it's not going to be his game to do it, but I think there's a lot of games where he needs to be doing that. Yes.
Well, next up for the Sacramento Kings, hopefully some reinforcements, and they play Friday. Not until Friday when they take on the LA Clippers. A Clippers team that is now, let me double check their record to see if ESPN has actually updated it, because the NBA site's kind of iffy sometimes. LA is now 8-7 on the season. They have the same record as the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
They won tonight against the Golden State Warriors 102-99. The Warriors are now 10-3. Norm Powell led all scorers with 23 points for the Clippers. James Harden only had 12, but he had 16 assists. Mir Coffey with 15. We've seen the Clippers. They're tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough game for Sacramento. Now they have to play them in an NBA Cup game. The Kings have to win if they want to have any remote chance of getting to the knockout portion of the NBA Cup schedule. That game's going to be at Intuit Dome. I wonder what the vibes are going to be like there with the wall.
The wall.
Yeah, I really want to see the Kings win this game. I think they...
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
No, but I get what you're just,
you know,
saying.
A team that they've lost to already, that team that I think is pretty solid. They're a really good defensive team. The Kings had their chances against the Clippers. God, it'd be nice if they could rest up and get this game. But I also think the Clippers are just a really tough matchup.
They are. And you look, how did Powell do tonight?
He had 23 points.
He did. Okay, yeah. So, you know, you just think about what he did against the Kings also last time. What he's been doing all season long, though.
He's
you know, against
it.
Every team.
Yep.
And I think with rested legs, the Kings should be able to not have any excuses. Only if the Clippers beat them. My point is the Kings can't beat themselves in a game like this. In an away game in LA, don't let any of that crap get to you. Just control what you can control. Make sure your effort is there. Everything that you're doing defensively is there. Don't have too many breakdowns. Gang rebound Zubats, who had 17 rebounds tonight.
The Kings lost that game 107-98. That was the game that they shot 3 of 26 from 3.
Okay. And shoot better. Just shoot better.
Yeah.
There's your analysis.
But
shoot better than you did last time.
Look, at some point, especially with getting these guys back, it's like, hey, you're 8-7 right now. Like, okay, you're hanging. But this is the West. And at some point, you got to start beating some good teams, right? And they haven't really beat good teams this year. Like, the Suns record-wise are good, but they were also extremely shorthanded. The Kings have been shorthanded, too. We're not taking that away.
Yeah.
But, like, what's the Kings' most impressive victory this year?
Let's look down the line.
The Minnesota game just eats you because they probably should have won that game. God damn it. The Utah game was impressive because they won. But I'm just saying Phoenix...
They were missing the
Phoenix
Durant.
Was missing guys. I mean, it was impressive from the standpoint that first one against Phoenix was super impressive because of what DeMar and De'Aaron did in the fourth quarter in overtime. That was crazy. But, like, they don't have a sexy win at this point. I need a sexy win. And then you've got some opportunities coming up here. You got Clippers, OKC, and then...
They've had some, like, some of these wins, though, like, the battling through, like, Miami, for example, and finding a way to get the win.
The tipping.
Yeah, and then Toronto, the second game around, you know, just it felt so much better in that one.
They lost that Toronto game.
I know, and then that first, I know. They've had, what, like, three bad losses so far? I would say Spurs.
Yeah, Spurs is bad.
Did they have one against Portland?
No,
that was in preseason or something. It was Spurs. I think the Toronto one. And then there's a part of me that wants to throw tonight on there, but I'm like, you factor in everything. It's mostly because it's a home game that I'm just like disappointed.
Yeah.
And because you had it. You had this fantastic comeback after being down 22-6 in that first quarter. And I was just like, oh, it's their game now. They have control. And then just not being able to make shots and obviously not getting the calls that you wanted. It was just, it was frustrating.
We're getting more super chats. Let's see here. Here we go. Jacob donates $5. I was supposed to go to this game. I'm sick and didn't go. I've never been to a losing game. My streak continues. Well, Jacob, maybe they would have won if you were there.
Ooh,
if you believe in that
stuff.
Are
you doing, Jacob?
Sebastian, the Spurs fan, is rubbing it in.
Ouch, the Hawks, really? Go grandma though.
Ugh.
Thanks,
and Gabriel, who has not said anything positive in any of his messages for this season, donates $2 that he just lit on fire. Let's give him a hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
We should have like a fire sound, like
We did mention this last podcast, but we learned some new details today. First of all, inside the NBA is surviving.
Hey, congrats. This is huge.
But it's called one of the biggest trades in sports media history. Charles Barkley, EJ, and Shaq, I assume, and Kenny? There's some questions about that. Uh-huh. They're going to be on ESPN starting next year in the new TV rights deal in exchange for 13 Big 12 football games in 15 Big 12 basketball games. Yes, ESPN traded the rights to Big 12 football games and Big 12 basketball games to be able to license inside the NBA. It'll still be produced in Atlanta by TNT, but it'll air on ESPN, and it's going to have a significant role. That means after January next year, they're going to be on a lot for all ABC games. Inside the NBA is going to be part of Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. I mentioned after January. They're going to be a part of the conference finals and, for the first time ever, the NBA finals. They are surpassing NBA countdown.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine if TNT is producing this and ESPN is licensing it, TNT is going to run the show like they've always run the show.
Yeah.
But it's a huge win for sports media, for sure. For ESPN, it's a huge win for the NBA. Most importantly, it's a huge win for fans who wanted inside the NBA to continue on.
I love it, but I think it's just so great that it was like a trade.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it even kind of more fascinating, if you want to call it that. But like you said, for NBA fans alone, it's just great that the show can continue. Hopefully it's all under the same direction, producing all the different things that makes that show special, because the creative freedom that they do have, you can't, don't change it up. Don't take away those things. Don't change the format for them, because it's still working for them.
ESPN's halftime has been criticized a lot because they have, I think, 6 people up there sometimes.
Yep, in 30 seconds.
Yeah, maybe 30 seconds, and everyone has to get a point in. I mean, we have short halftimes on our Kings broadcast when it's me and you, where I'm just like, oh my God, how do we get this in?
What's your key to the second half? Deuce!
But I also go, it's still easier than, you know, it's like Bob Myers, Michael Wilbon, yeah, Stephen A. Smith, you know, Kendrick Perkins. I'm like, how do you even have time to break anything down? They've loaded it heavy with commercials. And that's the one thing I like about Inside the NBA. Yeah, there are still commercials, but you put a sponsor all over things, a big money sponsor. Yeah. And I think it's going to be really good for the league. And I'm just glad, I've said this for years, they are the best show in the NBA. Even if some people are like, no, they don't do enough basketball, whatever. They're supposed to entertain too. But my point is, we've said for years, how is that show just disappear with the NBA finals?
It was
here?
So stupid. Yeah. Every year it was just like, what? Like, this is when we want the most. And, yeah, I'm just glad it's going to continue. Dude,
me too.
And in that format. Hopefully it's everything and more we want.
Yeah, you can't change it. If ESPN was like, hey, we kind of want you to adopt our thing.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, we're not about that. One other thing I want to talk about is tomorrow, Morgan.
Sure. What's tomorrow?
Massive game. NBA Cup game.
Oh.
We get the undefeated Cavs taking on the Boston Celtics, the 15-0 Cavs against the Boston Celtics at 11-3.
Ooh.
If I'm a Cleveland fan right now, I'm a little irritated with the league. You know, I don't think the national coverage has been great of this Cavs thing. If the Celtics had started the season 15-0, if the Lakers started 3-0, and it was like J.J. Redick, they were like, hey, where do we put J.J.'s statue? Is it next to Pat Riley's? Yep. You getting one? Or Kobe? Like, where do we
Facts.
Put it? Cleveland, Facts. Kenny Atkinson, first-year head coach, a lot of the same pieces. They have started the year 15-0. I don't care how bad the East is. 15-0 is 15-0.
It's a small market, dudes. Oh, well, it's ESPN can't just like have fun stories. Well, they have to make sure they're covering Bronny.
That's why I really want the Cavs to win tomorrow.
Just to shove it up their ass.
A little bit. Because, you know, if they lose, it's going to be like, well, look, man, the Celtics are still the class of the East. And then, you know, maybe the Cavs lose a couple in a row. And then they definitely don't get talked about. What the Cavs are doing is really cool, you know? And Kenny Atkinson has done an amazing job, like, adding to this offense and making it way more compelling to watch. So much movement and cutting. Just things that they weren't really doing before. You think about their offseason, there was like, oh, wait, does Garland want to be there? If Mitchell's there, is Donovan going to stay? They're both there.
And it seems working.
Like everyone's thriving. Evan Mobley's been playing well. Like,
I mean, they're thriving. Obviously, when there's winning going on, like everyone's going to be happy. But yeah. It's also, like you said, it's the style of basketball. It's a product on the floor. Believing in your coach and that style, it's translating into wins. And yeah, I'm excited to watch tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's a cup game. I think the league lucked out in a big way with that.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely love it. In the chat, Soli says Jalen Williams is guarding 1 through 5 and scoring 25 a game. He's not averaging 25 a game. He's averaging 20, and Jalen Williams is a really nice player. Jalen Williams, I don't think he's guarding 1 through 5. He's a really good player. I like his game a lot.
And a good defender.
It's a reference to Keegan Murray, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, and he's also not playing the second most minutes in the NBA. He's also not the only like big defender on OKC. So that, all these things are factors.
Like
you know?
It's again, we were talking, who do we say? Lauri Markkanen. Is he guarding Lauri Markkanen? No, like obviously Chet is out, but, and Hartenstein, but like those are going to be go down the list of your bigs that you have on that team.
Also look a little better defensively when you have so many defense, they have SGA, they've got Dort, they've got Caruso,
It just makes a difference when you have different pieces around you. And I understand the comp, and it's like almost, but no.
No, and every player is different too. So anyway, yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm excited that the Kings have a few days off. Any other final thoughts, Morgan?
I'm so excited that the Kings have a few days off. We have a Stockton King team. We'll be calling on Wednesday. Ooh, so yeah. We don't get that day off, but, I'm excited to call some basketball, love doing color. And so, we'll be putting that out there so everyone else can see what time that's on.
That's against Santa Cruz, Morgan. Like Santa Cruz Warriors.
Oh yeah.
Stockton Kings matchup.
I thought you said it's in Santa Cruz. I'm like, well, then we're not calling it.
No. I was just double checking here to look at OKC schedule. I'm in correcting mode tonight just for fact checking purposes. Do you care?
No.
I'm just seeing if OKC has played Utah this year because he said he has guarded Markkanen. I'm sure he's maybe guarded him on a possession.
Yeah.
But I was gonna look at numbers.
But
Morgan is so over me right now. It's not even funny.
No, I'm not. I'm not even. You're so full of shit. Like, I literally, like, why? Because my voice is this way?
Oh.
I think you're in a great mood. I appreciate your energy.
Thank you.
Yeah, so then take that back,
I'm
you
not
dick.
Gonna take it back. I was just wrong. It's okay to be wrong. Embrace it.
But you also can, like, apologize and hold yourself accountable.
So last year, Jalen Williams, Morgan.
What?
Matched up with Markkanen in 2 games for a total of 11 minutes. Markkanen was 4 of 9, 3 of 5 from downtown.
He had him in cuffs.
Well, no, but it's
here,
you're
dude.
In correction.
You're not gonna make me hate on Jalen Williams. I like Jalen Williams, but like there's other aspects of the game. I'm like, well, you know, he's also not playing second most minutes in the league. He's not also like not the only wing defender on his team. There's a lot of different factors. So anyway.
Yeah. For sure.
My final thoughts. Let's get healthy, everybody. I'm talking physically and mentally. Let's lock in. Friday is a big game, NBA Cup game. I'm going to be on pre and post game with Morgan that night from San Francisco. Then we'll go live after the game to talk all about it. And hopefully the Kings can get a win and we can start thinking more about the next NBA Cup game. And, you know, let's piece this together. Let's see if the Kings can get into a rhythm and have a good rest of November.
Yeah, it's a 7:30 start that night. So right after the NBC postgame show, we'll be turning on the pod and going live.
It's not going to get easier, guys. This season's going to be a grind. We're going to do it together. We love you guys so much, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your Monday night. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.